Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the Escae system, your majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, your majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while. Before annihilation. Etc.
Clash!
Savior of the universe!
What are we going to say for the intro?
Well, you can do this radio clash and I can interrupt.
You can interrupt as usual.
Yeah. That's what I'm here for.
All right.
That's what you don't pay me for, isn't it?
Clash!
Hello and welcome to show 72 of Radio Clash.
I think you'll find that show 73, old chap.
This is the Tim and Kirk special.
Tim, I love you, but we've only got 40 minutes to do a podcast.
It's a bit longer than 40 minutes.
Is it? No. It will seem like that in the
end. It'll seem like 14 hours. Hello and welcome to Radio Clash. This is Tim.
It's Kirk here. All right, Tweetle.
Twinkle.
All right, Tweetle.
And yes, we have only 14 minutes to save the Earth.
Yeah, I know. We'd better do it. I've got to have my tea first as well and a shower.
And I knew it was a number of the Von Neumann series.
Yeah, Tim, look, it's a really nice day out there. What are we doing stuck in doing a podcast?
Well, it's my birthday.
I'm bored. Important point, we've got to discuss this. It was your birthday yesterday, so it's like a birthday.
It's my birthday.
Yeah, it's a birthday podcast. Hey. Really important point, this. Today's show features the catchphrases. Do we have clearance for that? Also, we have a backup catchphrase, which is... Not on my bandwidth, you don't, okay? Okay, so we've got to use them sparingly, okay? Secret comedy and all that.
Yeah.
Okay, or you can run the two together.
Secret comedy is post-it notes that fall off.
I know. Well, it's not my fault. This is the most unprofessional get-up I've ever seen. Do you know what you should do? Is actually take a picture of your room. do the listeners know about your room?
No, they don't.
Okay, you should take a picture of your room, put it on the website, and underneath, like, this is where the magic happens.
Yes. This is where the magic gets lost under a pile of unread correspondence. Yeah, I know. So it was my birthday. I was 21 again yesterday.
Looking well. You don't look a day over 50, I tell you.
Well, someone was actually saying I was 38. And I was like, oh, fuck me, I'm not 38. Thank you. A lady does not divulge her age, but I'm a bit younger than that, not a bit older than that. But yes.
Yeah, but you're no lady though, are you?
No, but we try to make out I'm a lady. And I got some very nice presents from Kirk, which thank you for that.
Mm, no problem.
Which is, it got me the John Peel biography. Hey, an English book.
Yeah.
The Book of English. And The Mighty Boosh, which I've not seen, but I like Noel Fielding when it was in IT Crowd. So I think I'm going to enjoy that.
You'll love it. It's good.
We'll love it. You love it. You love it.
You love it. You slag.
You slag. So I think should we play Wilmot first?
Yeah.
And this is one of your choices.
Yeah. There's no reason for playing this apart from someone recently, they had a compilation of Warp Records and this was on it, and they had a DVD and all the videos. And scarily, there's some bloke in the video in a white T-shirt. It looks like me.
Oh. And it's a great sunny day song track.
Oh, it is. It's going to sound really nice, isn't it?
And it is a sunny day.
Thank you.
So that was Wilmot, Sabres of Paradise. And that's one of your favourite tracks, isn't it?
I think that's a tribute to Gary Wilmot, sadly no longer with us, of course.
Gary Wilmot?
Yeah.
What do you mean, the comedian?
Yeah, comedian.
Yeah, he's a comedian. Yeah.
Well, he always used to pop up on these kind of kid programmes when we were young, and I don't know, he's like... I don't know, who's he like, isn't he?
Oh,
he's like the other bloke. Who's
he's like Andy Peters on speed.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking.
Yeah, basically.
He's just an annoying version of Andy Peters.
Yeah. I was going to say, I love the way you kind of faded the song in while I was still speaking. All right, how can I shut Kirk up? All right, let's just brown him out. Okay.
I'm glad to say we're on the Red Bull, which means we've got real fake strawberry taste.
I know.
And
this is my second one. This is the present from the kind of lesbian club we went to the other week.
We went to Misshapes. We got some freebies. I did actually mention this on the show where we I said we got some freebies, and one of the freebies was Red Bull. But anyway, you're on your second Red Bull, which is worrying, because last time you were on your second Red Bull, you were bouncing off the ceiling, but that was with vodka.
Ching.
Ding, ding.
All right. You know how you can, you know, ching glasses together? This is pathetic with...
That so doesn't work. But this is certainly the day. This is a lovely day, sunny day in London. It's actually warm. First day, really the first day of summer. I know it kind of had one a while back, but it's still a bit cold.
Yeah.
And windows wide open and drinking Red Bull.
Yeah.
How better can we get than that?
I don't know. Well, the best is still yet to come. We've still got to go out tonight.
Yeah.
Hit London.
Literally.
Yeah.
With a large stick.
Get completely drunk, hammered. It's your birthday. You know, it's a belated birthday celebration for you. And...
Well, I had my birthday celebration last night. I went to a swanky restaurant. This is a proper birthday celebration.
Yeah, I can't promise you that. I can promise you a Big Mac and chips. And
Can you promise me some hookers, snort a line of coke off their arse, that kind of thing?
Actually, do you know what? I can.
Oh, dear. They're moving swiftly on.
Well, that'll teach you to make flipping comments, won't it?
Right, okay. Moving swiftly onto Pot World, of course, got nothing to do with whores and coke, of course.
Not yet, it hasn't.
Not yet. Anyway.
Well, okay. Two very sad things happened in the past couple of months. One was Smash It, RIP, which we're going to talk about later. In relation to that, Pot World. Now, Pot World was one of these kind of T4 teen Pot World things. It's been going on for about 5 years now. Quite low key. Used to be on a Sunday morning, moved recently to Saturdays, and they've changed presenters. It's still going, but they changed presenters last week. The thing that really made Pot World, it was presented by Simon Amstel and Makita Oliver, and it just the chemistry between them was really good. There's such a completely irreverent look at the pop world, or the world of pop, whatever. Don't matter. I should have actually kind of thought about what I was going to say before I actually launched into this, really, shouldn't I? It's really sad. It's still continuing on, but they've changed the presenters and they made it a bit more...
Still continuing, so it's not stopped.
Yeah, it's not gone, but they changed the presenters.
Because you said it was the end of Pot World and text, and I thought it was stopping. It's mostly not,
for all intents and purposes.
He's got rid of Simon Anstis.
Yeah.
Is it now Simon?
Amstel.
You're thinking
of Toby Amstis.
I'm thinking of Toby Amstis.
I presume he's going on to do career doing other kind of stand-up stuff and, you know, TV presenting and all that. But he's like a little pop imp with kind of curly hair and all that.
It was Mark Boland, really.
Yeah, it was. Actually,
Mark Boland. They didn't meet a tree on Barnes Common. Yeah.
They actually did this sketch in one of the Pop Worlds, because you know Leo Sayer has been remixed or something?
Yes.
And
thundering
Simon,
my arse.
Simon was in the Pop World studio and suddenly heard these strains of, what's that big Leo Sayer song?
Oh, When We Make Feel Like Dancing, or whatever it's called.
Something like that. And so he wanders off set, wanders down the corridor, and into this makeup room,
green room.
Something like that. and there's Leo Sayer. And of course, Leo Sayer does look like a really aged old version.
Oh no.
So it's like really short with this guy curly hair like that. It's like, oh, whatever. But it's same, because we're going to talk about Smash Hits later. The one thing I really liked about Smash Hits, it just had such a fucking sarcastic, piss-taking, surreal sense of humour. And the only worthy successor to Smash Hits in its heyday was Pop World. They'd have pop stars on, they'd ask the most bizarre questions, really kind of take the piss out of them. The first time I saw it was about 3 years back, and it was they're interviewing Britney Spears. And of course, when pop stars go on there, they expect to be pandered to, especially if they're, you know, they're quite big stars, probably, you know, American stars and all that. And what Makita and Simon did was just really fucking take the piss. And there'd be all these kind of, you know, off-camera moments and kind of, you know, really kind of taking the piss afterwards. In the,
didn't they really offend Atomic Kitten or something?
Probably.
Because I remember that there was some comment about the fact that, you know, Pop World is changing, whatever, or finishing. And they said that, I think Sugar Babes got on with them all right, but I think it wasn't Atomic Kitten, or one of those really shitty... girl bands or Girls Aloud really didn't like them because it became a running joke on the show. I've only seen it once, so we might have hopefully see the show.
Yeah. Well, I brought the last one up on video, yeah. Which Tim hasn't got his video set up, so we'll have to put some comments in retrospect.
In post, put it in post. You see, we're so professional here, just put it in post, yeah.
Yeah, it all comes out in the wash, in the edit, doesn't it?
well, it all comes out kind of like a pinky red, usually, but that's just me. So,
we met Simon Amstel once, didn't we?
Yes, at that false titter thing.
Yeah.
You met him in the toilets. Because you met Chris Evans in the toilets as well. So you meet celebrities in the toilet, which is highly suspicious. I'm not going to say more
than
that.
It's not to do with that, no.
Yeah,
but
right.
But the thing is, I wandered in there, and I was a bit drunk. And this was before he came on, and I had all these cue cards. And he was obviously kind of having a quick final rehearse of his act before he went on. And... it's like I was drunk and I didn't know what I was doing, and I thought I was, you know, boosting his confidence. They go, "Oh, it's all right, Simon. They're here to see you. It's like, we love you," and all this kind of stuff. And it probably kind of made him more nervous than he actually was. And he's going,
oh. I always remember he had one of those Tom Baker scarves on.
Mm.
You know, moving slightly into Doctor Who. I don't know if we want to talk about Doctor Who starting again, but certainly he had one of those really kind of one of those scarves I never ever could wear as a kid, because everyone used to take the piss out of my name, and anybody has now worked out what my name is now, but most people know anyway. But it was like, and I can't wear one of those scarves, so I had scarf jealousy, I think, when I saw him.
But one final thing, I will miss it, because it was the perfect thing. If you went out on a Friday or Saturday, and you're in bed the next day and you had a severe hangover, you couldn't be arsed moving, you just watch it under the duvet. It was on at 10:30. It was a brilliant way to kind of ease yourself into the day. So I will miss it. It's got the new presenters. It's got Alex Zane, who used to be...
Oh,
no, not Alex Zane. Yes, Alex.
Alex Zane.
It's on XFM. It's all right. I watched it this morning. What's the new one? It's okay. The humour's kind of there, but it's not going to be the same, and I miss it. Simon, if you're listening... I love you and I will miss you, okay?
And I'll call you soon. Mm. And yeah, we had a special time in the toilets.
Shut up!
So, your next song is a Monkees song.
Is it your song next or my song?
No, it's yours.
Oh, okay.
Have a Gene Blues.
Okay, yeah, well, hit it then.
I thought you wanted to intro it.
You've done it for me. You robbed me of it. No heartache, sorrow, no loss, no lonely nights of waiting. Finally, want to be happiness. It's all rolled up in you. And now, with you as inspiration, I look toward a destination sunny, bright that once before was blue. I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me. So take my hand outside my journey, free from all the helpless worry that besets a man when he's alone. More strength is mine when we're together, and with you I know I'll never have to pass the high road for the low. I have no more than I did before, but now I've got all that I need. For I love you and I know you love me. Play Magic Finger. Yee-haw! Whoa! That was Papa Jean Blues by the Monkees. That was an example of some good Monkees. Tim, can you think of an example of some bad Monkees we might want to talk about later?
Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Yes, good one.
Or Arctic Monkeys.
That gives me an idea. Later. We'll talk about it later, yeah?
Later. Yes,
Save it for the podcast.
What?
Nothing. I said save it for the podcast, and I realised we are doing the podcast.
We are the neighbours.
This is for real. No more rehearsals.
Sheila, we are the neighbours. Yeah. I'm sure not anybody that hasn't watched adverts in the mid-80s. I actually did that recently. I made a comment on a blog about a Tip Top advert.
Yeah. Thanks to your help, Tip Top.
And he's actually one of...
You're looking slim today, Mum. Thanks to your help, Tip Top.
The guy is actually one of the listeners, so hello. Holy 13 Nation. I actually don't know his first name, and but I had to explain it, and it's really embarrassing when you do that. You make a really kind of like cool in kind of like 80s retro, like, you know, advert comic, thinking everyone knows about it, and they're like, they just go, what?
You've got to assume people don't know.
Yeah, I know, it's me being pop culture obscure. So you're now going to talk about smash hits, because you think about smash hits have stopped.
Sorry. Usually the format of the show.
This is the Kirk show. This is a show where Kirk talks for ages about things, and I just sit back and eat and drink Red Bull.
No, the thing about this show, usually if I'm on it, you know, there's a bit of give and take. It's like Tim will play a song, I'll play a song, do a bit talky bit, blah 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 blah. But this show, it appears to be all about me, doesn't it?
It's the Kirk show without any Tim.
Hello.
Okay. Now, as a tribute, I want to talk about smash hits.
I'm still here.
You still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have clearance for that?
I don't know. I have no idea what happened there.
Now
the conclusion.
I'd like to do a tribute to smash hits. Again, sadly, no longer with us.
On a kazoo.
Okay, on a kazoo.
A tribute to smash hits on a ukulele. Go. It'd be like a mix between Deliverance.
When I'm reading smash hits.
Someone actually pointed out that, you know, this links into later, that George Formby sounds a lot like the guy from Arctic Monkeys.
Does he?
Yeah, oh. they are like the George Formby of today. They're probably about as annoying. Anyway, back to the smash hits.
Okay, back to smash hits. Yeah, I would just like to do one final tribute to the magazine, which existed from 1978 until February this year. If anyone had ever saw it in the later years, the teen mag, the awful teen mag that it'd become, you wouldn't know the glory years, its former self, when it was
like
fantastic.
Jackie?
It was worse than that.
It was worse than Jackie.
It came actually
just
the last
17.
The last no. That's
she?
Good. That's good.
Oh, no,
that's
that Cosmo. Yeah.
That's I don't know.
But anyway, back to smash it. So I just keep distracting you to keep you going.
Yeah, I know. That's okay. I think the Red Bull might be able to keep me going. Or maybe
what's the toilet? Yeah, keeps you going.
Oh, it's all gone a bit diuretic.
isn't that that religion? Oh, that's Dianetics. That's Dianetics. Oh, let's really offend the Church of Scientology and then they get sued. That would be good.
Yeah.
So anyway, smash hits, who have nothing to do with Scientology.
Think. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. They used to have a lot of kind of posters of Tom Cruise, but this was in the 80s, so, you know.
So it's obviously a gay pin-up.
It could have gone either way at the time.
So could he.
Could have gone Mormonism. You know. It's not too late. Just because he's using this Katie Holmes thing as an excuse and a baby. I was so what?
That was so funny. Have you seen the Evening Standard had the headline, Tom Cruise gives birth to a baby girl? I'm thinking, what? No, Katie Holmes gives birth. unless he has had a sex change somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. And didn't you have to keep shtum during the whole thing? It's against Scientology. She's not allowed to kind of scream out in pain while she's giving birth.
She's
not allowed to use any kind of...
She's not allowed to recite Shakespeare while giving birth. Oh. She's not allowed to talk to the press.
No.
She's not allowed to do a tap dance.
No.
Your beds are finished, by the way.
Is it? No, there's more to come.
Oh, there's more to come.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Wow, that's so crackly in a really nice crackly way.
It's authentic crackles as well.
Authentic. What do you mean, rather than fake crackles?
Yeah, no, I did it in post production.
Snap, crackle, pop with new fake pop. back to fake pop. Hey, anyway, tell
back
me
to smash hits.
Yeah, tell me about smash hits, Kirk.
Okay, I will. Would you let me finish?
No.
Okay. Well, it's like I used to get smash hits in my formative years. So when did I first get it? 85 to 89. And it was a good period of pop music at that time, and the magazine reflected it. It's very much like Top of the Pops. It can only really reflect what's in the charts and if it's good or bad. Obviously, in the 90s, later on, pop music, processed pop, became an absolute pile of stinking crap. And when the last issue came out in February, I thought, well, you know, let's go and get one from the newsagents. Maybe they've done a bit of a retrospective, you know, the good old years. I went in there, and the actual magazine was all kind of bright pink colours. You could actually smell this kind of reek of awful perfume coming through the cellophane.
Pink.
And it was some kind of free gift they have with it. It's some like a girly pink personal organiser. You would not believe how much the magazine has changed. It was originally set up by someone Nick Logan.
Nick Logan, it says on your card.
Enemy, yeah. In 1978. And it was done as like a kind of more teen accessible version of Enemy.
Was it anything to do with sounds? Because I wasn't buying magazines then, but there were sounds as well, wasn't it? Because Neil Tennant wrote for sounds.
No, I think they were supposed to be more kind of...
Muso.
Yeah. You knew exactly the term I was going to use as well.
Muso, abuso.
Yeah.
So tell me more. What else happened in Smash Hits world? Because I never really got Smash Hits. You had this whole stack of them and you used to show me things like that famous New Order interview, which I love so much. It was like, bye-bye, because he actually left the Smash Hits editor stranded in some remote American locale and just left him. They slipped off in the morning and never let him know because they really hated him.
It's just saying... I'm going to miss. Well, I actually haven't had to buy an issue since, you know, the early 90s. It's just I'm sad to think that it's not there anymore. And the magazine it turned into was completely different from what I knew. It's like it had the most sarcastic, surreal sense of humour. It took the piss out of pop stars. This is why I'm saying like the only worthy successor to it was Pop World, and even that's gone now. You know,
hasn't it, listeners?
It didn't treat pop stars with any respect, which is a good thing, I think.
Definitely. Definitely, says Mr. Ed. But the, what else do you want to talk about? Smash Hits.
I remember when...
give us the history, Kirk.
No,
facts. We want facts.
I'm not going to give you the whole...
And we want a free comb. And we want a free drink. No, and we want three things.
I actually bothered looking something up on the internet, which is something I don't usually do, because it's not, you know... You do a bit of research for this show, because, you know... You know, I'm not that professional. I haven't got that much time.
Neither am I.
Okay. But everyone knows about Neil Tennant. Obviously, Pet Shop Boys used to work for them.
He makes very good lager.
Does he?
Yeah.
Is that the lager of a tramp?
He's also the father of David Tennant.
The tramp's choice.
Yeah, the tramp's choice, yeah.
There's some other people who worked for it, which I was unaware of. Kate Thornton, of course, who went on to present everything, the ubiquitous Kate Thornton, X Factor and all that kind of stuff.
Did she play piano?
She did, I believe she has done on sometimes.
Sorry, I think the Red Bull is kicking in. I'm getting random from being drinking too much Red Bull.
There was Mark Ellen, who went on to edit Word magazine.
Word.
Still going.
Word. Word up.
And also Mark Frith, who went on to be the editor of... Heat magazine, so the celeb's favourite.
Weird how all these people have moved on to other things.
I know. They all came from Smash Hits.
Did they?
Well, a lot of them did, anyway.
Lord Lucan. Lord Lucan came from Smash Hits.
I'm never researching anything for this duddy show again.
Right? Sabotage. Well, this was the third take, listeners. Hello. No, I appreciate you.
I'm crying.
Sabotage.
Look, that magazine, that damn magazine meant a lot to me. And what are you doing? There's no respect, is there?
I'm going. Bye.
Ow.
The cue card hurt. Ow. That's what two cans of Red Bull does for you, children. Don't do Red Bull. Crack is whack. Yeah, whatever. Oh dear. So you have a song to play, which is another one of your songs.
Normally we do it in a more kind of, it's a bit more give and take. It's like, I'll do a song, he'll do a song, I'll do a song, he'll do a song, but now it's me.
But yes, you're going to play. I don't want to announce it for you because I told off last time for announcing it for you.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was trying to think of a song that would sum up the whole Smash Hits era, and it's impossible, so I just want to do my usual thing of playing a shiny 80s pop classic. And the one we have is Since Yesterday by Strawberry Switchblade. Hit it, Tim.
It'd be helpful. The fucking thing has crashed, but anyway, luckily it doesn't crash the beds, but that's good.
How can we sleep when our beds are crashing?
How can we sleep when our beds are crashed? This is what happens, and I just have to wait for it to come back.
Stop! That's not the version I had in mind, and you fucking well know it.
Oh, I was having fun there. Oh, duh. So you want the Strawberry Switchblade version, not the Mini Pops version?
Yeah, I think so.
You're just no fun. You're just no fun. There we are. Wait, it says Since Yesterday. Right, here we go. That was Strawberry Switchblade with Since Yesterday. And I have a little educational bit about that song. A little factoid about it. Did you know what song it was based on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Where the fuck is it?
Oh, real smooth, Tim.
Where is the fucker?
it yourself, or did you read about it somewhere?
I'm doing research for a show. I want to do a show on like classical ripoffs, and this is about Sibelius's, I think Sibelius, Fifth Symphony, Third Movement, and it's where David Mosher, when he was doing the production for Since Yesterday, he ripped off the synth riff. He ripped it off Sibelius. Or Sibelius. Sibelius?
Sibelius, yeah. I was lying earlier. When I said I did know where it came from, I didn't. I didn't want you to go, well, you know, ideas above your station and huge ego and all that kind of stuff. So. Yeah. But so, no, well done. Well done.
Well done. Well done. Well done. So, after that little bit of lovely...
Thank
lovely.
You, Tim. That was informative and entertaining.
Tick, but that's tick.
Two things. That's not possible.
But we don't have a chocolate toy. Yeah, we need a chocolate toy as well. So, anyway, I have to say, I predict a choir.
direction I reach. A positive vibe, a way of life is how I'm living. So get hyped to the rhythm. KLF is the crew you hear, yeah? Is that a rhyme? I just won't fear. Back to react, enough is enough. Let me ask you a question. What time is love? What time is love? For anesthetic, get to step two, let an MC come on a fet with King Boy D. A wannabe, gonna be old time sucker. You know the time, I never stutter. A feat, a dream, and yes, see bright. Yeah, pass the mic. What time is low? 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 What time is low?
The Kaiser Chiefs with What Time Is Love, and before that was I Predict a Riot by the Cheshire Chord Company, which sounds a bit like one that's really cheesy. You know those little cheesy shops you get, or those little really kind of like chintzy ones?
Yeah.
These have like the Cheshire Bear Company, or the Cheshire Fisty Company, or whatever, you know. It's the Cheshire Chord Company, but anyway, they're a group of basically grannies, or kind of 40, 50-year-old women, or older, doing a Kaiser Chiefs song, as you do. So, and then before that was, of course, we announced that, all that shit, didn't we?
Mm.
Strawberry, Switchblade, yeah. Sibelius, Duff, yeah, okay. I always thought Sibelius was a name of a composing package.
It is, they named it after him.
They didn't name him after the composing package, then?
It could have been, actually, because it was on the Archimedes computer, which was, they named the
philosopher after the computer.
Yeah, that was it.
Okay. So, now we're going to, with a... A bit more quiet to bed. Now we're going to...
Shut up.
Yeah, piano player. Shut up! I have some juicy gossip about the enemy.
Oh, is this the bit where you got the juicy gossip about the enemy?
Yeah, this is the bit of juicy gossip about the enemy, which Kirk doesn't know.
Can't wait, come on.
Well, it's interesting. There's Rob over at Top of the Pods was... Do we have clearance for that? Rob over at Top of the Pods was approached by the NME because they wanted to do an article on podcasting.
Yeah,
I've got permission for him to tell you this. And he then put himself, well, I mean, obviously approached him, but he then asked, oh, do you know any music podcasts that would be, you know, we could talk about? We could write about in the NME. And this is like a major dream of mine to actually be featured in the NME. Oops. To actually be featured in the enemy, and I was like, oh yeah, definitely. And so he put several names forward, and they came back and said, oh no, sorry, we want to have a podcast that's under 23 and only plays indie music.
What?
So unfortunately, that the enemy's demographic, because now I've actually been, you know, I've to set the scene, I've been reading a bit like you've been reading Smash Hits. I've been reading Enemy since the late 80s. And it used to cover dance music, it used to cover hip hop. I mean, all right, yeah, you used to always tend to have this thing about in, you know, white boys, guitars, that kind of shit. But it used to actually cover all kinds of people as well. It used to have little columns and stuff. And I've noticed that it's more and more become niche, and it has become pretty much a paper for under 23 white, you know, mostly white, mostly middle class or working, sometimes working class kids with guitars who play a very niche music. And obviously that question about, oh no, we're only interested in podcasters that are under 23 and play indie music, kind of like betrays a whole, the idea of their demographic of their magazine. So that's what's crap about The Enemy, is that it's become a niche magazine. It's become a magazine that only covers pretty much one type of music. I actually bought the latest one. I haven't bought it for probably about 6 weeks, because I was so pissed off about this. And I bought the latest edition today. And they did actually have an interview with the guy from The Flaming Lips, who is older than... But most of the rest of it's all about, of course, they have a Arctic Monkeys poster, and they've got like all this, you know, stuff. And I think the oldest people they cover is Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips and Morrissey.
Mm.
And everyone else is all, you know, testicles and people like that.
Mm.
Kaiser Chiefs. They're all in their demographic.
But the weird thing is, why would it do that? Because that's the only kind of weekly mag left now, isn't it? Music mag, isn't it?
Yeah, because Nardi make a folder
a
while
ago. Yeah, why nicheify yourself? Why do that? It's just stupid. You know?
Advertising. It's all about advertising. I mean, it's kind of stuff we're talking with, you know, in the interview. You haven't heard this show I just put out with an interview with Eric Clapton, and about how he was basically saying that in the record industry, most of the money is put towards marketing.
Mm.
That's why you get these big signing fees, whatever, and the money goes towards advertising. And it's the same. Also, Bicycle Mark just did a show about the clash of journalism versus advertising, and I think it's because they want to appeal to an XFM style niche audience.
Mm.
But I think even the XFM audience is probably wider than what the audience they're going for.
The funny thing I noticed this with XFM, which is probably, you know, the station I listen to the most. I remember 3 years back they used to play a whole variety of stuff. They'd play a lot of kind of hip hop if they thought it would appeal, which is good. They actually played a lot of kind of different music, but now it is all indie. I'm wondering if there's some kind of person who kind of controls, or
the indie fat controller,
or I don't know. There's all these kind of high up executive talking to each other and kind of guiding the demographic. They're not responding to the demographic. Maybe they're guiding the demographic. You're this age. You're this. Colour, therefore you should like this music, and we're going to make you like this music.
Well, I mean, what insults me is the fact that the only electronic music that indie people are supposed to like, really, is Daft Punk and maybe sort of things like ambient things like Boards of Canada. It's like, you know, I'm sure there's so much more crossover, because remember when you were younger, you used to have like the Now compilations, so it's still going, but they tend to be very pop nowadays. You used to have like the KTEL compilations, the Ronco compilations, and they used to mix up all kinds of music. If it got in the charts, you'd have Black Sabbath next to Kelly Marie, and it wasn't like, oh my god, that's a niche demographic, we can't upset. It was like, oh no, it got into charts, it got into top 10, it goes on the album. And that, I think, was good, and that actually meant that there was a lot less kind of this niche thing going on. Whereas nowadays, everyone's like, oh no, I've got to be into emo, I've got to be into screamo, I've got to be into new acoustic, or, you know, whatever the little tribal things are. It's got worse than the 80s, actually, because remember how 80s is so tribal, or 70s as well. I think we actually gone back to the 1970s, like people beating the shit out of each other because they're, one set is a Bay City Rollers fans and the other set are, I don't know, prog rock fans or whatever. It's all, I don't know, it annoys me. And The Enemy has kind of like devolved into this magazine that always talks about one band nowadays, but it's ironically they ignored the Arctic Monkeys when they started. I know we're going to talk about them later, but and they've been taken over by things like Drowned in Sound, which is a blog and also a podcast, and various other music blogs. I think they've actually taken over the writing, where it used to be very kind of... used to go to The Enemy and the Mardi Maker for good music writing. I think it's all online nowadays.
Mm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I concur.
I mean, do you actually buy any magazines or papers you still buy?
No, I stopped reading Enemy years and years and years back. Do you remember when we talked about it a while back? It was to do with the amusing band names and all that.
Yeah.
It was actually that period, which was like early to mid-90s, was the last time I read it. And it was actually, I read it because of the sense of humour
Richard Easter and Thrills, and which are all gone.
Yeah. But yeah, it became too wanky, actually.
Yeah, well, I think Britpop killed the NME.
No, there was a documentary on the NME a couple of months back, and they said this, that you know what I said about Smash Hits and Top of the Pops? It can only be as good as the music that's going on around it, and it's the same with NME. And they said in this documentary that the NME works best when there's a kind of a new scene that's come along, then the writers can thrive off. If there's these little kind of, you know, dark, desolate years in between when not much is happening, then the writing becomes shit and the magazine becomes shit. I actually think Britpop was a good time for it. They actually you remember last August when it was the 10-year anniversary of the Britpop clash between Oasis and Blur, and they released this kind of compendium of articles that were going around at the time, and I bought that, and it's a really good read. The writing was good, there was a really good vibe about it.
We had people like Swells, you know, Stephen Wells, you had Everett True. I think the only survivor from those days, I think, is Mark Beaumont. I think he's the only person, and he's like editor or quite high up. So now we have my secret shameful song. I haven't mentioned to Kurt what this is, though it's not that shameful, but certainly it's from a band.
It's certainly secret.
It's certainly secret, and it's from a band that I know Kurt likes, but it's one of those things that it's. You don't know I like them. Well, you kind of do. You kind of do, but it's a very cool song, but it kind of became a cool song because it was used in a... It was actually sampled by... It was sampled by De La Soul. And so you might actually get what it is. If it hasn't crashed... Has it crashed? Yes, it's crashed. If it hasn't crashed, which of course it has crashed, and of course we faded out... Oh, bollocks. That was Steely Dan with Peg. And Kirk's got something to say.
Tim, did you know, according to all sources...
What sources now?
It was the Metro, 8th of December 2005. It was once the preserve of the earnest of geeks. Now it is taking over the English language. Podcast, something the technically minded can do with their iPods, has been named Word of the Year.
Word.
The honour was bestowed by the New Oxford American Dictionary. Probably. Admittedly, it was last December, okay. It's like, I've been meaning to cut this out since, but, you know. Other words to enter the lexicon include bird flu. Bird flu. Flu.
Bird flu. Bird flu.
Persistent vegetative state and IED. And also Sudoku.
Sudoku. I do think that's a good idea to have a band called the Sudokus. The Sudokus. We could be on stage and we could actually do the Sudoku. Yeah, you know, while we're performing. That's actually the act. We just go on stage and then we have a musical Sudoku. that would be a big thing.
That'd be very I like that. Very arty, yeah. And what you get, you can actually hand out, you know, the actual Sudoku kind of pages to people, to the audience. And if anyone manages to complete it by the end of the show, you know, you go, bingo! No, Sudoku! And they win a prize.
Yes.
Brilliant.
They win champagne and Coke off a whore's arse or something, I don't know.
And canapes? I think that's the proper term. Champagne and canapes. Not on my bandwidth, you don't.
And...
Do we have clearance for that?
Exactly. And so, you liked my secret track?
Yes, it was good.
I know, because I remember you played Haitian Divorce to my answerphone.
To your
once.
Face.
Yes, you played it to my answerphone. You said, I actually have a recording of it somewhere. That what happened is that you phoned me up for some reason, you were leaving a message, and you said, at the end you said, and here, have some Steely Dan. You played Haitian Divorce for my phone for like 30 seconds or a minute. It was great. It was like, oh, right. And then you used to leave my old dad's answerphone, you used to leave really classic classic answerphone messages, and because they're old tape, I have some of them somewhere. Yeah. I actually saved some
I know that was a big thing for you, you know, admitting that you actually liked Steely Dan. I mean,
I have to say, not all of Steely Dan's. Ricky, Don't Lose That Number, I fucking hate still.
Okay. And next on Radio Clash, Tim and I are going to talk about feelings.
Feelings.
Tim, what feelings have you been having recently?
I've been having feelings of a strange nature down there.
Really? Down there? On the floor? That's why the floor is clear. It's not covered in crap. He's been cleaning up, listeners. He's got the Hoover out.
No.
The Henry Hoover. You know Henry Hoover? The one with the really evil eyes which genuinely do follow you around the room. Wherever you are in the room, the Henry Hoover can see you.
Henry Hoover is Borg.
Yeah, I actually think there is actually more scary than a Dalek. Can you imagine, you know, this kind of army of Henry Hoovers?
They could clean up as they destroy the world. Bang, bang, zoo. Yeah, that would work.
Right, what are we talking about now?
We're talking about the Arctic Monkeys.
Tim, please tell me why I don't like monkeys. I want to shoot to the whole band through. Down.
Down, through. Shoot them through.
Yeah.
You're going to shoot through and leave me. You're going to shoot through and leave
me.
Yes. Yeah.
And leave you. The things.
You say.
Unbelievable.
I can't remember the rest of the lyrics. The things you say. I can't remember because they were about 90 years ago. But anyway, and we can clap out of time. Like, yeah.
You're so fine.
Clap your hands and say, crap group.
Hey, Mickey, don't lose that number.
Hey, Mickey, don't lose that number. Great idea for a bootleg. Great.
Or not, as the case may be. The
Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, Arctic Monkeys. Well, you had something to say, didn't you?
Well, Arctic Monkeys is shit.
We're just going to give them a general slagging.
A general roasting, a general slight
foul. Well, this is the thing, you see, because do you remember when the first time we mentioned them?
Having a Charleston break. Classic.
Do you remember the first time we mentioned them? It was to do with, was it the List Show? And we're talking about good names for bands.
Yeah.
And you said, the Arctic Monkeys, what a shit name for a band.
It's really true. Shit name. Only Panic at the Disco is probably the worst.
But the thing is, there was this gap between that podcast and this one. And in the time, do you know what? I bet you look good on the dance floor. Grew on me a bit.
Well, like a mould.
Yeah, like a mould.
Yeah.
And what was the other one about everything changes after night? What's the thing? The second one, the following.
Oh, the one, about prostitutes. One that was called after Scummy Dark. Man, but yeah. They've got the it changes round here.
Yeah, that one. Everything changes after dark. That one.
Everything changes. Yeah, it was take that. Yeah,
I can't even remember. Everything changes. I can't even remember the name of the title of the song thing. Whatever.
When it goes dark round
that's
here.
It, that's the one. When it. But the thing is, that one grew on me as well, and I did actually think that has actually got very clever lyrics. So the thing is, it's like you were thinking, you know, oh, next time we do a podcast, we're going to give them a right good slagging to. And in the meantime, I thought, well, hang on, I can't be a hypocrite. I always say you should like songs for what they are, not because of hype or because of the band. You should like songs for what they are. But you know what? The Arctic Monkeys do make it so fucking damn difficult. So the thing is, I think I do kind of like those songs, but go on. I've got another point to make. Go on.
It's his voice. His voice has got... He's got a voice that's more annoying than that guy from The Lars. He's got a voice with just great steel. So you're like, you know, and a scummy man. It's like, oh, fuck off and die, you cunt. It's like, I mean, it's weird because there are bands around that area, and I mentioned this before, around Sheffield, like Milburn is one, Bromhead Jackets, Little Man Tate. There's a few bands around that are really good, that kind of got a similar thing going on. But they haven't got his voice, and I really like them. But I really hate the Arctic Monkeys. But I do agree, when I heard the Sugar Babes version of I Bet You Feel Good on the Dance Floor, that actually kind of won me round to the song. It was because they covered it so well. So I know it's sacrilege, and a lot of people are going to go, oh, how dare you, sacrilege, indie sacrilege, how dare you say it's better? I actually prefer the Sugar Babes version. But I do actually like that version. And so I've got some sympathy for the original song, but I don't really... Right Van is okay.
There was another one I heard on the radio, one of the album tracks. It had some kind of like funky guitar thing going on, which I thought was okay. But the new single's a pile of crap, basically.
It's a pile of poo.
Pile of krypton.
Pile of poo. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's kind of like a someone described it about the streets, but it also applies to them. The Marmite effect.
What's Marmite effect?
You know the whole thing about Marmite.
Oh, you either love it or hate it.
You really really love it, or you really fucking hate it. No, I don't like Marmite, but...
Yeah, what happened with the Arctic Monkeys? They're beginning to grow on me like a fungus. So they won several awards on the Enemy night, awards night and whatever, and when they went up to collect them, it was all kind of real arrogant fucking tossers. And I remember, I said, hang on, and went up and they swaggered up, bit of swagger, you know, collect their awards, bit mouthy and all that. And I'm thinking, hang on, I've seen this somewhere before. So it's like I'm thinking, 10, 11 years back, Brit Awards, Oasis collecting their awards. Yeah. And this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking the week before the Enemy Awards, the Arctic Monkeys have been playing back all these old Brit Awards, trying to, you know, get the swagger right. They've been practicing in front of the mirror, trying to kind of walk like Noel and Liam, trying to do the voice, all that kind of stuff. They look like they're wearing like Oasis hand-me-downs. I just thought, you fucking tossers.
Did they have the dodgy hairstyles as well?
Yeah, check.
Oh, God.
Check. Do you know what? I don't know his name. The American bloke in the band is the only...
American?
There's an American bloke in the band, yeah.
There's an American in the band. And that's all from Sheffield.
Well, that's what I thought, but I think there's an American bloke in the band, or something to do with the band. Wow. And he actually spoke on one of them. He's like the only decent, intelligent one in it. I mean, they're just... rubbish. Absolute fucking...
Crap. I mean, partly, I think, the fact...
So the thing is, I was warming to them, and they blew it. They blew it by being a fucking cheap Oasis, hand-me-down, rip me off. Yeah, basically.
They've got a tent out there.
But the thing is... Yeah, also, what? Don't start with your fucking tent envy. Do we have clearance for that?
Whereas the Arctic Monkeys, I don't think they've got... Because you know what they're going to do? They're not going to... Because the whole reason why they got where they were, they released all their demos on the internet, and the whole MySpace thing... I really don't think they're going to do that because they've got a contract and everything.
Yeah,
the idiots have signed a contract. Oh, they have actually signed it with Domino, which is Franz Ferdinand's label.
Oh, the pizza delivery place.
Yes, yes, Domino Records. They also come with a free pizza. They've signed with them, so they're actually a true
ooh,
indie.
Ooh, the base of this pizza is very crunchy. Tastes a bit like vinyl as well.
That would work. So
that's great.
Well.
You can just kind of nibble the pepperoni and the melted cheese and the tomato off, and then spin the record afterwards. But since we've been talking about the Arctic Monkeys, this is their debut song. This is "I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor." That was the Arctic Monkeys. "I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor." Anyway, to sum up, what a scummy band.
This isn't just a podcast. This is a Marks and Spencer surgically enhanced, genetically modified podcast with an accompaniment of pan-fried Croatian goat and creme stale. Oh, some of those olives. You know the little ones with the cucumbers running through? And some Monster Munch?
Viscount.
Hundreds and thousands.
Pot noodle.
Menu Master Lasagna.
Spaghetti.
Wagon Wheels.
Knobs.
Burns Age of Light.
It was on a on Gaiba, I think it was, one of the forums. That someone posted about what's your birthday songs, and of course I had to look up mine. I looked up Kirk's, and mine is Dawn, and Tony Orlando, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Old Oak Tree. Lovely, I know. Kirk is grooving to this. Oh, that's enough.
What?
All right, a bit more then.
I'm coming home. I've done my time. Now I've got to know what is and isn't mine.
You do know this is a pro-war song?
If you
is it?
Yeah. My letter telling you
Tie Yellow Ribbon is about a soldier coming back.
Oh, right, I thought we'd been in prison or something. Do.
Who cares? Maybe it's about water sports. I don't know. So what was
not
yours?
Not everyone will get
what there. Was yours then?
All right, okay. Well, apparently, according to the Guinness Book of Hit Singles, mine was something called Daydream. It was a double A side. It was Daydream, a Stroke the Puppy song. Not Stroke the Puppy, but
yeah, which
Stroke
you can't find
song, by David Cassidy. It's like, oh, I've not even heard of that.
Partridge Family.
Yeah, I've heard of David Cassidy, but not that song. But
yeah.
Apparently, the next day after my birthday, 17th of November, 1973, it was, worryingly, I Love You Love Me Love by Gary Glitter. We're going to hear a bit now, aren't we, Tim?
Yeah. Watch out, any 12-year-olds listening.
I love you, love. You love me too, love. I love two-year-olds.
And there goes the audience.
Sorry, I forgot to apologise for the show last November, where that might have caused a bit of offence. And of course, we don't mean anything, you know, it's a very serious subject, paedophilia. We weren't taking the piss out of that. We were just being amused at Gary Gutter's predicament at the time.
Yes,
so
you were.
Is that a bit of enough of an apology? Is that
yes,
all right? Will that
yes,
do?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Anyway, next one.
It was the funny thing, because you got that off some website, didn't you?
But on the website, which is This Day in Music,
yeah,
it actually said Gary Glitter for 16th and 17th. So
I believe that to be in error. I think you looked
error,
it up on the
error,
World Wide error, Web of
error,
Lies, didn't
error,
you?
Error.
What was the website written in? Hypertext markup lies or something?
So, and also there's of course, there's the 18th, which is someone mentioned on the thread about Life Songs, which is, of course, the song which was number one when you were 18. So what was yours, Kirk?
Mine was, it was, apparently, is Dizzy by Vic Reeves and the Wonder Stuff.
Classic, classic.
And you're going to play your one?
Oh, do I have to?
Yeah.
It's really shit. So
I thought you had some unusual remix of it that would make it all right.
No, well, I don't want
to. Just a little smidgen.
Oh, God. So that was the cool one. That was Kirk had the cool one. Whereas me, of course, I have this classic as my 18th birthday song.
Happy birthday, Tim.
Thanks. That's my life's theme. My life's theme is to be Chesney Hawkes.
Didn't it say something on that website that the actual song was supposed to have something to do with the theme of the way your life was going at the time or something? I'm sure it did. I thought, how does that work?
Yeah.
But the thing is, in which case, mine's Dizzy, so that means I'm going to live a life of fainting and being drunk. Yours is the one and only, which means if there's a nuclear holocaust, it's only going to be you and the cockroaches that survive. It's like, huh?
That sounds about right, actually.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe there is some truth in it, then. I don't know.
That's enough of Chesney Hawkes. Of course, the ones we had when we met, which I think I've got here. Oh, yes.
These are flipping.
They're not bad.
One of them's all right. One's crap.
Right, so when we met, we have the delights of.
It was either this one or this one.
Lovely. I like it. Or, I wish you could play both of these together, which probably improves them. I like it. Well, it's the same thing. Oops.
One, two, three, four. Some people call
Live mashup, everyone. Get down. That's better. It's the Gabba version.
It means the song will be over quicker.
That's my remixing skills.
Were you wearing boxing gloves when you remixed it? I'm a smoker,
Is that bad?
Was that the Mogadon remix?
Yes, I think so. It's depressing the fuck out of me. And
that's it, isn't it?
And that's it.
That's it.
It's the end of the show.
Yeah, I think
oh my
so.
God, it's the end of the show. I didn't realise that. So you can find out more about Radio Clash and such stuffage at mutantpop.net/radioclash, and you can email me at radioclash@mutantpop.net. What's the last word from Kirk?
My name is Pete, and I am funky. I went out with Kate. Now, she's a totally reformed character who certainly has got her modelling career back on track, and no doubt about that.
Boom, boom. So this is Kinsey Six, and it's a song called I've been through parasites, but I've never had VD. And if you remember Kinsey Six from the last show, because I played You're Scaring Us, which is to the tune of Aquarius, which I haven't played yet, but it's very funny. I love this greatly. So I'll speak to you soon.
Hi. Hey, lady. You, lady. Cursing at your lot. You're a discontented mother. I'm an unrepentant slut. I've no doubt you dream about the folks you'd never do. But I wish someone had a talk with me about how safe sex sluts can screw. Ooh, I've slept in Georgia with Shepherd Nadza. Who cares if he had the runs? One night stand with David Letterman where I flogged his sagging buns. Ooh, I've sat on faces like Princess Grace's but kept protection on me. I've been through parasites, but I've never had VD. Bum, 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 bum. Please, lady, don't just walk away. 'Cause I have this need to smell you, even though you fear a lay. I can see so much of me still living in your eyes. Won't you have a heart for my weary part that has rubbed a million thighs? I've been on my knees with the cast of Grease, and I did the crew of a yacht. Slept with Harlow and Phil and Marlow. She had a hairy excuse me. Oh, I've done Larry King. And did you, Miss Thing? But condoms kept me drip free. I've been through parasites, but I've never had VD.
Hey, you know what a parasite is? It's a worm. Well, it's like a worm, only it lives in your intestines. But it helps me maintain the supermodel figure that graces the covers of Vogue and Vanity Fair and the New England Journal of Medicine. So it can't be that bad. But you know what the truth is? Truth is, sleeping around is fun. Truth is, it isn't risk-free. The truth is, nothing is risk-free, including romanticized, patriarchal, neo-Victorian denial. Truth is, sluts have morals too. Oh, I refrain from lying with dogs and children. At least I keep it discreet. And I did the guy who wrote my left foot. You can do a lot with feet. So please, girl, stop deploring my friendly whoring. Cause someday you could be me. Hey, lady, I've been the parasite.
Big furry parasite.
But I've never had BD. I've never had VD.
Clitus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
Well, it's this obscure thing, innit? Yeah. You know, it's just it's this planet. Yeah. You know, it's called Earth.
I'm looking for something
nothing special.
Have you got anything in my price range?
No, but it's small Earths, not big Earths.
Do you know what? It looks very peaceful.
I wonder what this, mate.
What does this button do? Look at that.